From Montreal, Quebec, this is the Bard Brawl.
Welcome, Bard Brawlers.
Different intro than usual. That surprised everybody. My name is Daniel J. Rowe. I was going to do the Bane voice, but I haven't been able to master it yet. I'm Daniel J. Rowe, the co-creator of the Bard Brawl. The other co-creator is beside me. Have you seen Batman?
I have not. And
the Dark Knight Rises? Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Oh. Who told you that?
Heretics, clearly.
Heretics that don't know anything about Dickens or Kafka. Watch it and you'll get it. Eric right. Zhang, how are you this evening?
I'm good. Looking forward to some more Coriolanus.
We are back in the full-out epicness that is the tragedy of Gaius Marcius Coriolanus. And I just called him Gaius. It's Caius, yes. Not Gaius. Caius Marcius Coriolanus. We are in Act 4. We are coming to the close of this great tragedy. Mm-hmm. We just finished Act 3 where what happened?
A lot happened.
A lot did happen, yes.
But the short version is the tribunes called out Coriolanus for treating them like dirt. And Coriolanus was trying to go along and play nice, and they basically provoked him into calling them all out and insulting everyone. They accused him of treason against the state. They banished him, and he basically told them to go screw themselves.
Turn my back on you. There are worlds out.
There is a world elsewhere.
There is a world. I'll tell you something, Eric John. The other day I was consoling a friend of mine who was going through a breakup, and she was very upset. And I used Coriolanus in my consolation. I said, guess what? You are now exiled, like Coriolanus. Mm. And I even quoted the line. I was very proud of myself.
And we'll see today the result of that exile. Yeah. When all else fails, find friends with your enemies.
Exile. See, Act 3 is also the sort of show trial kangaroo court. This would be probably where our former professor, Dr. Kevin Pask, would probably bring up the play as theater.
The meta-theatrical.
The meta-theatrical interpretation. Do you buy that? Does this work in this play?
It probably does. I haven't thought about it too much. But yeah.
Was he commenting? Was he commenting?
Yes, he was commenting on the theater. He's staging
space. The other voice you have heard is back to inhabit the cloak of Coriolanus, Mr. Andre Simino.
Hello. Hi, thank you. Great to be back.
Great. It's great to have you back by my side, by all of our sides, so we can follow along at a trained actor / director / writer /
lover.
Lover. Indeed.
Indeed.
Ball hockey champion. We have not spoken to him his team. Yeah. Have won the Cup of Life. What is the cup called in the ball hockey turn? What league are you in, by the way, Mr. David Wheaton?
Oh, I'm in a few. But this one, they used to have a cup, and they don't have it anymore. Apparently cutbacks or someone stole it. Yeah. They put a little medal next to our name on the website.
Oh.
Medal, yeah.
Is it glorious? Is the medal glorious?
It's really small.
It's like clip art.
It's basically, it's like an emoticon, but it's like a medal, yeah. Mm.
What's the name of your team?
Flying Dutchman.
Nice.
Well, now I'm sad.
I'm sad. The Flying Dutchman deserves
a guy
with
trophy. They deserve something better. They deserve a guy with white gloves to follow them around everywhere. Everybody
Absolutely.
Deserves
it. We should do that. We'll volunteer.
You're hired.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Our only female for the evening, which means some of the males will read female voices, but you won't be able to tell because you can't see, listener, is Stephanie E.M. Coleman taking a break from her presentation. What's your presentation on?
I have to present all my artwork from the best of the best the last few years and present my proposal for this year for my independent study.
So go to StephanieEMColeman.com and you can see that aforesaid artwork. Mm-hmm. We can all see it on the interweb. Joining us again, he's been moved up from the fourth line to the third line. Last time he was first citizen.
Called up from the minors.
I don't even think he was a senator. I think we just gave him first citizen.
Called up from the minors, but he played big for us.
Yeah. First
played a good
officer.
Game.
Yeah.
First officer. A lot of firsts.
A lot of firsts. Now he's going to have a name character Excited, I'm sure. Mr. Jay Reed, how are you, Jay?
I'm doing good.
Great.
Happy to have more lines.
Woo. Yes. See, once you get a taste, you cannot help. It's the elixir. It's like blood
it's like
to a vampire.
Power.
Yes, it's like the ring of power. Once you have it, you are obsessed with it. So, we're in scene 4. Coriolanus has been exiled, but he's not.
He hasn't left yet.
He hasn't left yet. So, scene 1. We have in this Coriolanus, Mr. Andre Simonov. Volumnia will be read by Mr. Eric Jean.
Hello.
I will read Virgilia, but I don't think she says anything in this this scene, as many other scenes.
She has a line.
She does have a line? Okay,
a line.
Good. That'll be me. Menenius is my good friend, Mr. David Wheatent, and making his debut with a named character of Cominius, the noble... Is he a consul currently, or just a noble?
He is the exiting consul.
Exiting consul, yes, right.
So it's pretty important.
Mr. Cominius, yeah, he's supposed to be the one leaving the seat open for Coriolanus, who does not have a seat.
He's the general under who Coriolanus served.
Yeah.
That is big shot.
He is to Cominius, what's the guy who's right under Coriolanus' name?
Oh, Larsius. Titus Larsius?
Yeah, Titus Larsius is to Coriolanus. So, Rome before a city gate. Coriolanus.
Come, leave your tears. A brief farewell. The beast with many heads butts me away. Nay, mother, where is your ancient courage? You were used to say extremity was the trier of spirits, that common chances common men could bear. That when the sea was calm, all boats alike showed mastership in floating. Fortune's blows when most struck home, being gentle wounded, craves a noble cunning. You were used to load me with precepts that would make invincible the heart that conned them.
Oh heavens, oh heavens!
Nay, prithee, woman!
Now the red pestilence strikes all trades in Rome, and occupations perish.
What? I shall be loved when I am lacked. Nay, mother, resume that spirit when you were wont to say, if you had been the wife of Hercules, 6 of his labors you'd have done, and saved your husband so much sweat. Cominius, droop not. Adieu. Farewell, my wife, my mother. I'll do well yet. Thou old and true Menenius, thy tears are salter than a younger man's, and venomous to thine eyes. My sometime general, I have seen thee stem, and thou hast oft beheld heart-hardening spectacles. Tell thee, sad woman, 'tis fond to wail inevitable strokes, and 'tis to laugh at em. My mother, you wot well my hazards still have been your solace. And believe it not lightly, though I go alone, like to a lonely dragon that his fen makes feared and talked of more than seen. Your son will or exceed the common or be caught with cautious baits and practice.
My first son, whither wilt thou go? Take good Cominius with thee a while. Determine on some course more than a wild exposure to each chance that starts in the way before thee.
Oh, the gods!
I'll follow thee a month, devise with thee where thou shalt rest, that thou mayst hear of us, and we of thee. So if the time thrust forth a cause for thy repeal, we shall not send o'er the vast world to seek a single man and lose advantage, with which doth ever cool in the absence of the needer.
Fare you well. Thou hast years upon thee, and thou art too full of the war's surfeits to go rove with one that's yet unbruised. Bring me but out at gate. Come, my sweet wife, my dearest mother, and my friends of noble touch, when I am forth, bid me farewell and smile. I pray you, come. While I remain above the ground, you shall hear from me still, and never of me aught but what is like me formerly.
That's worthily as any ear can hear. Come, let's not weep. If I could shake off but 1 7 years from these old arms and legs, by the good gods, I'd with thee every foot.
Give me thy hand. Come.
Exit. Scene 2, the same, a street near the gate. Enter the 2 conspirators, the 2 tribunes, if we forgot from last time.
Mm-hmm.
Their names are Sicinius, who I was reading, and Brutus, who Stephanie will read, and an...
Adil? Adil?
Adil?
We put up the pronunciation and we still get...
I even looked on Google and checked how to pronounce
now
it.
Now
is
probably a
to.
Good
it's
time
Edil.
To
Edil.
Edil. All right, Edil. That's the pronunciation now. Edil.
Edil. So, Edil, does he say anything?
He may.
Maybe.
Well,
if he does, someone will jump on him. So, enter Sicinius and Brutus and an Edil. Bid them all home. He's gone and will no further. The nobility are vexed, whom we see have sided in his behalf.
Now we have shown our power. Let us seem humbler after it is done than when it was a doing.
Bid them home. Say their great enemy is gone, and they stand in their ancient strength.
Dismiss them home.
Exit Adil.
Here comes his mother.
Let's not meet her.
Why?
They say she's mad.
They have taken note of us. Keep on your way.
Enter Volumnia, Virgilia, and Menenius.
Oh, you're well met. The hoarded plagues of the gods requite your love.
Peace, peace, be not so loud.
If that I could for weeping, you should hear. Nay, and you shall hear some.
To Brutus.
Will you be gone?
You shall stay too. I would I had the power to say so to my husband. Are you mankind?
Aye, fool, is that a shame? Note but this fool. Is not a man my father? Hast thou fox-ips to banish him that struck more blows for Rome than thou hast spoken words?
Oh, blessed heavens.
More noble blows than ever thou wise words, and for Rome's good. I'll tell thee what. Yet go. Nay, but thou shalt stay too. I would my son were in Arabia, and thy tribe before him, his good sword in his hand.
What then? What then? Help make an end of thy posterity.
Bastards and all. Good man, the wounds that he does bear for Rome.
Come, peace, peace, come.
I would he had continued to his country, and he began and not unknit himself the noble knot he made.
I would he had.
I would he had. 'Twas you incensed the rabble. Cats that can judge as filthy of his worth as I can of those mysteries which heaven will not have earth to know.
Pray, let's go.
Now, pray, sir, get you gone. You have done a brave deed. Ere you go, hear this. As far as doth the capital exceed the meanest house in Rome, so far, my son, this lady's husband here, this, do you see, whom you have banished, does exceed you all.
Well, well, we'll leave you.
Why stay we to be baited with one that wants her wits?
Take my prayers with you.
Exit tribunes.
I would the gods had nothing else to do but to confirm my curses. Could I meet them but once a day, it would unclog my heart of what lies heavy to it.
You have told them home, and by my troth you have cause. You'll sup with me?
Anger's my meat. I sup upon myself, and so shall starve with feeding. Come, let's go. Leave this faint puling and lament as I do, in anger, Juno-like. Come, come, come.
Fie, fie, fie.
Exund. My mom wasn't like that when I got kicked out of Vancouver.
She's a little mad.
She's so much more angry.
I know. When I got detention, my mom wasn't mad like that.
You got kicked out of Vancouver?
No. A highway between Rome and Antium. Oh, here's some gossip. Who wants to be a Roman?
Sure.
Oh, who wants to be a Vulci?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. Eric will be the Vulci, and David will be the Roman.
Which one's which? I have Nicanor and Adrian.
Nicanor, I think, is the Roman. Okay. What's the first line you have?
I know you well, sir.
Is that Nicanor?
The Roman.
Yeah. So you're the Roman.
Okay.
Nice.
Oh, interesting how some editions don't even have names for them.
Yeah.
Some,
yeah.
Oh, we talked about that before. Some of the citizens have names in some of the versions, and some don't.
Hmm.
More of them probably should.
Hmm.
Go ahead.
I know you well, sir, and you know me. Your name, I think, is Adrian?
Hold on a second. So his first line, and he says Adrian, and then this edition doesn't feel the need to give him a name?
Likely that in the one of the original manuscripts or copies of it, they only have it listed as Roman and Vulci. So some editors will stick with what Shakespeare didn't write it down. But what those people wrote down, and others are... figure, well, it doesn't really matter. Let's put the name so we know who the hell's speaking.
Right. Okay,
but,
sorry. Continue.
I know you well, sir, and you know me. Your name, I think, is Adrian.
It is so, sir. Truly, I have forgot you.
I am a Roman, and my services are, as you are, against him. Know you me yet?
Nicanor, no?
The same, sir.
You had more beard when I last saw you, but your favor is well approved by your tongue. What's the news in Rome? I have a note from the Volscian state to find you out there. You have well saved me a day's journey.
There hath been in Rome strange insurrections. The people against the senators, patricians, and nobles.
Hath been. Is it ended, then? Our state thinks not so. They are in a most warlike preparation and hope to come upon them in the heat of their division.
The main blaze of it is past, but a small thing would make it flame again. For the nobles receive so to heart the banishment of that worthy Coriolanus, that they are in a ripe aptness to take all power from the people, and to pluck from them their tribunes forever. This lies glowing, I can tell you, and is almost mature for the violent breaking out.
Coriolanus banished?
Banished, sir.
You will be welcome with this intelligence, Nicanor.
The day serves well for them now. I have heard it said, the fittest time to corrupt a man's wife is when she's fallen out with her husband. Your noble Tullus Aufidius will appear well in these wars, his great opposer Coriolanus being now in no request of his country.
He cannot choose. I am most fortunate, thus accidentally, to encounter you. You have ended my business, and I will merrily accompany you home.
I shall, between this and supper, tell you the most strange things from Rome, all tending to the good of their adversaries. Have you an army ready, say you?
A most royal one. The centurions and their charges distinctly billeted, already in the entertainment, and to be on foot at an hour's warning.
I am joyful to hear of their readiness, and am the man, I think, that shall set them in present action. So, sir, heartily we met, well met, and most glad of your company.
You take my part from me, sir. I have the most cause to be glad of yours.
Well, let us go together.
Exit. Two enemies.
What a lovely little thing.
That's a nice little
scene. Oh, hey, great to see you, Dan.
Nice to see you. Yeah, thanks for betraying your country.
No problem. So this is a sort of setting up that, like, nobody's loyal to anybody? Is that the idea here?
I just think this is information. It's sort of like a way of... Well, in the movie, they don't actually have a spy, I think. They're just listening in on the news channels, and which accomplishes the same. Because... This Nicanor wasn't anywhere, but he's in Plutarch. I don't think he has a name, though.
Yeah. All right. Scene 4, Antium, before Aufidius' house. So Coriolanus is now in mean apparel, disguised and muffled. Oh, citizen. Stephanie, would you like to be the citizen this time?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Volscian citizen.
Volscian citizen. Mm. You need to have a Volscian accent, whatever that is. They're the enemies of Rome under Tullus Aufidius. He's a leader. Enter Coriolanus in mean apparel, disguised and muffled.
A goodly city is this, Antium. City, 'tis I that made thy widows. Many an heir of these fair edifices for my wars have I heard groan and drop. Then know me not, lest that thy wives with spits and boys with stones in puny battle slay me.
Enter a citizen.
Save you, sir.
And you.
Direct me, if it be your will, where great Aufidius lies. Is he in Antium?
He is, and feasts the nobles of the state at his house this night.
Which is his house, I beseech you?
Is here before you.
Thank you, sir. Farewell.
Exit, citizen.
Oh, world, thy slippery turns. Friends now fast sworn, whose double bosoms seem to wear one heart, whose house, whose bed, whose meal and exercise are still together. Who twin, as 'twere, in love unseparable, shall within this hour on a dissension of a dot break out to bitterest enmity, so fellest foes whose passions and whose plots have broke their sleep, to take the one the other by some chance, some trick not worth an egg, shall grow dear friends and interjoin their issues. So with me, my birthplace hate I, and my love's upon this enemy town. I'll enter. If he slay me, he does fair justice. If he give me way, I'll do his country service.
Exit. Seems right. Logic is appropriate there. If he likes me, I'll serve him. If not, I'll kill him. Kind of the thing. He'll kill me.
Yeah, and you know, I probably deserve it.
Yeah.
But bygones be bygones. I'll kill people for him.
All right, Jay Reed, you're up. You can be first or second serving man. Oh, you've been first before. I'll take second serving man. And if Eric, you can do the stage directions.
Are you still Aufidius? Because he comes into this scene.
No, Tullus Aufidius is...
nice.
David.
Excellent.
I was just Aufidius when we read it the first time.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll be stage directions? Is that what you're asking? Okay.
And Stephanie, if you want to be third serving man.
Sure.
Excellent. All right, the same, a hall in Aufidius' house. Music within, enter a serving man.
Wine, wine, wine. What service is here? I think our fellows are asleep.
Exit, enter a second serving man.
Where's Cotus? My master calls for him. Cotus!
Exit, enter Coriolanus.
That's me.
Goodly house. The feast smells well, but I appear not like a guest.
Re-enter the first serving man.
What would you have, friend? Whence are you? Here's no place for you. Pray go to the door.
Exit.
I've deserved no better entertainment in being Coriolanus.
Re-enter second serving.
Whence are you, sir? Has the porter his eyes in his head that he gives entrance to such companions? Pray get you out.
Away!
Away, get you out.
Now thou art troublesome.
Are you so brave? I'll have you talk with anon.
Enter a third serving man. The first meets him.
What fellow's this?
A strange one as I ever looked on. I cannot get him out of the house. Pretty thee call my master to him.
Retires.
What have you to do here, fellow? Pray you, avoid the house.
Let me but stand. I will not hurt your hearth.
What are you?
A gentleman.
Marvelous poor one.
True, so I am.
Pray you, poor gentleman, take up some other station. Here's no place for you. Pray you, avoid. Come.
Follow your function. Go and batten on cold bits.
Pushes him away.
What? You will not... Prithee, tell my master what a strange guest he has here.
And I shall.
Exit.
Where dwellest thou?
Under the canopy.
Under the canopy?
Aye.
Where's that?
In the city of kites and crows.
In the city of kites and crows? What an ass it is. Then thou dwellest with daws, too?
No, I serve not thy master.
How, sir? Do you meddle with my master?
Aye, 'tis an honester service than to meddle with thy mistress. Thou pratest and pratest. Serve with thy trencher, hence.
Beats him away. Exit third serving man. Enter Ophidius with the second serving man.
Where is this fellow?
Here, sir. I'd have beaten him like a dog before disturbing the lords within.
He retires.
Whence comest thou? What wouldst thou? Thy name? Why speakest not? Speak, man, what's thy name?
If Tullus.
Unmuffling.
Not yet thou knowest me, and seeing me dost not think me for the man I am. Necessity commands me name myself.
What is thy name?
A name unmusical to the Volscian's ears, and harsh in sound to thine.
Say, what's thy name? Thou hast a grim appearance, and thy face bears a commandst in it. Though thy tackle's torn, thou showest a noble vessel. What's thy name?
Prepare thy brow to frown. Knowest thou me yet?
I know thee not. Thy name.
My name is Caius Martius, who hath done to thee particularly and to all the Volsces great hurt and mischief. Thereto witness may my surname, Coriolanus, the painful service, the extreme dangers, and the drops of blood shed for my thankless country are requited but with that surname. A good memory and witness of the malice and displeasure which thou shouldst bear me. Only that name remains, the cruelty and envy of the people permitted by our dastard nobles, who have all forsook me, hath devoured the rest, and suffered me by the voice of slaves to be whooped out of Rome. Now this extremity hath brought me to thy hearth, not out of hope, mistake me not, to save my life, for if I had feared death of all the men in the world, I would have avoided thee. But in mere spite, to be full quit of those my banishers, stand I before thee here. Then, if thou hast a heart of wreck in thee, that wilt revenge thine own particular wrongs and stop those maims of shame seen through thy country, speed thee straight, and make my misery serve thy turn. So use it that my revengeful services may prove as benefits to thee, for I will fight against my cankered country with the spleen of all the under fiends. But if so be thou darest not this, and that to prove more fortunes thou art tired, then, in a word, I also am longer to live most weary, and present my throat to thee and to thy ancient malice, which not to cut would show thee but a fool, since I have ever followed thee with hate, drawn turns of blood out of thy country's breast, and cannot live but to thy shame, unless it be to do thee service.
Oh, Martius, Martius. Each word thou hast spoke hath weeded from my heart a root of ancient envy. If Jupiter should from yon cloud speak divine things and say 'tis true, I'd not believe them more than thee, all noble Martius. Let me twine mine arms about that body where against my grain it hash an 100 times hath broke and scarred the moon with splinters. Here I clip the anvil of my sword and do contest as hotly and as nobly with thy love, as ever in ambitious strength I did contend against thy valor. Know thou first, I loved the maid I married, never man sighed truer breath, And that I see thee here, thou noble thing, more dances my rapt heart than when I first wedded, than when I first my wedded mistress saw bestride my threshold. Why, thou Mars, I tell thee, we have a power on foot, and I had purpose once more to hew thy target from thy brawn, or lose mine arm for it. Thou hast beat me out 12 several times, and I have nightly since dreamt of encounters twixt thyself and me. We have been down together in my sleep, unbuckling helms, fisting each other's throat, and waked half dead with nothing. Worthy Martius, had we no other quarrel else to Rome but that thou art thence banished, we would muster all from 12 to 70. And pouring war into the bowels of ungrateful Rome like a bold flood o'erbeat. Oh, come, go in and take our friendly senators by the hands, who now are here, taking their leaves of me, who am prepared against your territories, though not for Rome itself.
You bless me, gods.
Therefore, most absolute sir, if thou wilt have the leading of thine own revenges, take the one half of my commission and set down as best thou art experienced, since thou knowest thy country's strength and weakness, thine own ways, whether to knock against the gates of Rome, or rudely visit them in parts remote, to fright them ere destroy. But come in, let me commend thee first to those that shall say yea to thy desires. 1,000 welcomes, and more a friend than ever an enemy, yet, Martius, that was much. Your hand most welcome.
Exit Coriolanus and Aufidius. The two serving men come forward.
Here's a strange alteration.
By my hand, I thought to have struck him with a cudgel, and yet my mind gave me his clothes made a false report of him.
What an arm he has. He turned me about with his finger and his thumb, as one would set up a top.
I knew by his face, and there was something in him. He had, sir, a kind of face, methought. I cannot tell how to term it.
He had so, looking as it were. Would I were hanged, but I thought there was more in him than I could think.
So did I. I'll be sworn he is simply the rarest man in the world.
I think he is, but a greater soldier than he what you what ought.
Who?
That's a tough one.
Who? My master?
Nay, it's no matter for that.
Worth 6 on him.
Nay, not so neither, but I take him to be the greater soldier.
Faith, look you. One cannot tell how to say that, for the defense of a town, our general is excellent.
Aye, and for an assault, too.
Re-enter the third serving man.
Oh, slaves, I can tell you news, you rascals.
What? Let's partake. Both of us are supposed to say that, Jake.
Oh, sorry. You want to try it again?
Okay. What?
What?
Let's partake.
Very
good. I would not be a Roman of all nations. I had his life be a condemned man.
Wherefore?
Why, here's he that was wont to thwack our general, Caius Martius.
Why do you say thwack our general?
I do not say thwack our general, but he was always good enough for him.
Come, we are fellows and friends. He was ever too hard for him. I have heard him say so himself.
Ooh. He was too hard for him. Directly to say the truth, aunt, before Coriolis, he scotched him, and he notched him like a carbonara.
And he had been cannibally given. He might have broiled and eaten him, too.
But more of thy news.
Why, he is so made on here within, as if he were son and heir to Mars. Set at upper end of the table, no question asked him by any of the senators, but they stand bald before him. Our general himself makes a mistress of him, sanctifies himself with his hand, and turns up the white of the eye to his discourse. At the bottom of the news is, our general is cut in the middle and but one half of what he was yesterday, for the other has half by the entreaty and grant of the whole table. He'll go, he says, and sow the porter of Rome gates by the ears. He will mow all down before him and leave his passage pulled.
And he's like to do it as any man I can imagine.
Do it? He'll do it. For look you, sir, he has as many friends as enemies, which friends, sir, as it were, durst not. Look you, sir, show themselves, as we term it, his friends, whilst he's in directitude.
Directitude? What's that?
But when they shall see, sir, his crest up again, and the man in blood, they will out of their burrows like conies after rain, and revel all with him.
But when goes this forward?
Tomorrow, today, presently? You shall have the drum struck up this afternoon. 'Tis, as it were, a parcel of their feast, and to be executed ere they wipe their lips.
Why, then we shall have a stirring world again. This piece is nothing but to rust iron, increase tailors, and breed ballad makers. Losers.
Let me have a war, say I. It exceeds peace as far as day does night. It's sprightly walking, audible, and full of vent. Peace is a very apoplexy, lethargy, mulled, deaf, sleepy, insensible. A getter of more bastard children than war is a destroyer of men.
'Tis so, and as war in some sort may be said to be a ravisher, so it cannot be denied, but peace is a great maker of cuckolds.
Aye, and it makes men hate one another.
Reason? Because they then less need one another. The war's for my money. I hope to see Romans as cheap as Volscians. They're rising!
In! Let's go! I added that myself.
The let's go part.
Yeah, the let's go.
It's good. Cool. You gotta
add in acting, you're allowed to do that sometimes.
It was like seamless.
Even in Shakespeare's time?
I'm pretty sure that's how it went. Oh, we have one more scene, I believe. Is it one more?
This is a pretty good one, too.
Yes, we've got them all back, all the players. Sicinius, Brutus, I believe.
Yeah. The Romans. The Romans are about to hear the wonderful news.
Yes, they're all going to be very happy. Hey, the guy that defended you is gone.
Remember the Incredible Hulk? He's on the other team now.
Pardon?
The Edo has a line.
The Edo has a line? Oh. Would you like to jump on? You haven't got to do a bit part yet. You can.
Oh, yeah, I'll do Edo.
You can jump on Edo.
Also a messenger. And a second messenger.
Ooh.
I'll grab one of those.
You just point to someone.
Rome, a public place, enter Sicinius and Brutus. We heard not of him, neither need we fear him. His remedies are tame in the present peace and quietness of the people, which before were in wild hurry. Here do we make his friends blush that the world goes well, who rather had, though they themselves did suffer by it, behold dissentious numbers, pestering streets, than see our tradesmen within their shops and going about their functions friendly.
We stood to it in good time.
Enter Menenius.
This Menenius?
To see. Oh, he has grown most kind of late. Hail, sir!
Hail to you both.
Your Coriolanus is not much missed, but with his friends, the Commonwealth doth stand, and so would do were he more angry at it.
All's well, and might have been much better if he could be temporized.
Where is he? Hear you?
Nay, I hear nothing, for his mother and his wife hear nothing from him.
Enter three or four citizens.
The gods preserve you both! Good day, our neighbors.
Good evening to you all. Good evening to you all.
Oh, Jay, you're first citizen.
Okay. Ourselves, our wives and children, and our knees are bound to pray for you both.
Live and thrive.
Farewell, kind neighbors. We wish Coriolanus had left you as we did.
No, the gods keep you!
Farewell.
Exit citizens.
This is a happier and more comely time than when these fellows ran about the streets crying confusion.
Caius Marcius was a worthy officer in the war, but insolent, o'ercome with pride, ambitious, past all thinking, self-loving.
And affected one sole throne without assistance.
I think not so.
We should by this, to all our lamentation, if he had gone forth consul, found it so.
The gods have well prevented it, and Rome sits safe and still without him.
Enter an aedile.
Worthy tribunes, there is a slave whom we have put in prison. It reports the Volsces with two several powers are entered in the Roman territories, and with the deepest malice of the war destroy what lies before them.
'Tis Aphidius, who, hearing of our Marcius' banishment, thrust forth his horns again into the world, which were enshelled when Marcius stood for Rome, and durst not once peep out.
Come, what talk you of Marcius?
Go see this rumorer wit. Cannot be the Volsces dare break with us.
Cannot be? We have record that very well it can, and three examples of the like hath been within my age. But reason with the fellow before you punish him, where he heard this, lest you shall chance to whip your information and beat the messenger who bids beware of what is to be dreaded.
Tell not me, I know this cannot be.
Not possible.
Enter a messenger.
The nobles in great earnestness are going all to the Senate House. Some news has come that turns their countenances.
Tis this slave. Go whip him for the people's eyes. He's raising nothing but his report.
Yes, worthy sir, the slave's report is seconded, and more fearful is delivered.
What? More fearful?
It is spoke freely out of many mouths, how probable I do not know, that Marsh has joined with Ophidius, leads a power against Rome, and vows revenge as spacious as between the youngest and oldest thing.
This is most likely.
Raised only that the weaker sort may wish good Marsh's home again.
The very trick on it.
This is unlikely. He and Ophidius can no more atone than violence contrarity.
Enter a second
You are sent for to the Senate. A fearful army led by Caius Marcius, associated with Ophidius, rages upon our territories and have already all borne their way, consumed with fire, and took what lay before them.
Enter Cominius.
Oh, you have made good work.
What news? What news?
You have hop to ravish your own daughters, and to melt the city leads upon your pates, to see your wives dishonored to your noses.
What's the news? What's the news?
Your temples burned in their cement, and your franchises whereon you stood confined into an augur's bore.
Pray now your news. You have made fair work, I fear me. Pray your news. If Marcius should be joined with the Volscians.
He is their god. He leads them like a thing, made by some other deity than nature, that shapes man better, and they follow him, against us brats with no less confidence, than boys pursuing summer butterflies, or butchers killing flies.
You have made good work. You and your apron men, you that stood so much upon the voice of occupation and the breath of garlic eaters.
He'll shake your Rome about your ears.
As Hercules did shake down mellow fruit, you have made fair work.
But is this true, sir?
Aye, and you'll look pale before you find it other. All the regions do smilingly revolt, and who resists are mocked for valiant ignorance and perish constant fools. Who is it can blame him? Your enemies and his find something in him.
We are all undone, unless the noble man have mercy.
Who shall ask it? The tribunes cannot do it for shame. The people deserve such pity of him as the wolf does of the shepherds. For his best friends, if they should say, be good to Rome, they charged him even as those should do that had deserved his hate, and therein shone like enemies.
'Tis true. If you were putting to my house the brand that should consume it, I have not the face to say, beseech you cease. You have made fair hands, you and your crafts. You have crafted fair.
You have brought a trembling upon Rome, such as was never incapable of help.
See, no, we brought it.
How? Was it we? We loved him, but like beasts and cowardly nobles, gave way unto your clusters who did hoot him out of the city.
But I fear they'll roar him in again. Tullus Ophidius, the second name of men, obeys his points as if he were his officer. Desperation is all the policy, strength, and defense that Rome can make against them.
Enter a troop of citizens.
Here come the clusters. And is Ophidius with him? You are they that made the air unwholesome when you cast your stinking greasy caps and hooting at Coriolanus's exile. Now he's coming, and not a hair upon a soldier's head, which will not prove a whip. As many coxcombs as you threw caps up will he tumble down and pay you for your voices. 'Tis no matter, if he could burn us all into one coal, we have deserved it.
Faith, we hear fearful news.
For mine own part, when I said banish him, it was pity.
So did I.
And so did I. And to say the truth, so did very many of us. We did for the best, and though we willingly consented to his banishment, yet it was against our will.
Your goodly things, you voices.
You have made good work, you and your cry. Shells to the capital?
Oh, hey, what else?
Exit Cominius and Menenius.
Go, masters, get you home, be not dismayed. These are a side that would be glad to have this true which they so seem to fear. Go home and show no sign of fear.
The gods be good to us. Come, masters, let's home. I never said we were in the wrong when we banished him.
So did we all. But come, let's home.
Exit, citizen.
I do not like this news.
All right.
Thing.
Oh, sorry.
Is this me? Let's to the capital. Would half my wealth would buy this for a lie.
Pray, let us go.
Excellent.
Oh, things did not go as well as it would have liked. People don't like peace. It's, I was listening to a podcast about Roman history, and they said that the historical context where Coriolanus leaves Rome and then joins the enemy and then all of a sudden becomes their general perhaps might be taking a few liberties with the history, because only a Roman could conquer Rome.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole... And if
he's
Roman...
He's the most Roman of Romans. Because
so even if he was
Rome.
With the Volscians, they would still follow him because he's Roman.
Yes.
And Romans are the best.
You know, Volsces are just second-class Romans. They'll be Romans soon enough anyways.
Yes. Okay, we have one more scene in this act, and it is Aufidius and a lieutenant. Who would like to be a lieutenant?
Conspirator.
What?
Lieutenant. He's a conspirator.
Oh. Well, that was...
Juicy.
That's juicy. Okay.
I shall be the conspirator. Oh, do you want to do it, Andre?
Sure. Yeah. Andre can be the lieutenant.
Yeah.
Do they still fly to the Roman?
I do not know what witchcraft's in him, but your soldiers use him as the graceful meat. Their talk at table and their thanks at end. You are darkened in this action, sir, even by your own.
I cannot help it now unless by using means I lame the foot of our design. He bears himself more proudly or even to my person than I thought he would when I first did embrace him. It is nature as that's in that's no changeling, and I must excuse what cannot be amended.
Yet I wish, sir, I mean for your particular, you had not joined in commission with him, but either had borne the action of yourself, or else to him had left it solely.
I understand thee well, and be thou sure, when he shall come to his account, he knows not what I can urge against him. Although it seems, and so he thinks, and is no less apparent to the vulgar eye, that he bears all things fairly and shows good husbandry for the Volscian state, fights dragon-like and does achieve as soon as draw his sword, yet he hath left undone that which shall break his neck, or hazard mine, whenever we come to our account.
Sir, I beseech you, think you he'll carry Rome?
All places yield to him ere he sits down, and the nobility of Rome are his. The senators and patricians love him too. The tribunes are no soldiers, and their people will be as rash in the repeal, as hasty to expel him thence. I think he'll be to Rome as is the osprey to the fish, who takes it by sovereignty of nature. First he was a noble servant to them, but he could not carry his honors even. Whether it was pride, which out of daily fortune ever taints the happy man, whether defective judgment to fail in the disposing of those chances which he was lord of, or whether nature, not to be the other one than one thing, not moving from the cast to the cushion, but commanding peace even with the same austerity and garb as he controlled the war, but one of these, as he hath spices of them all, not all, for I dare so far free him, made him feared, so hated, and so banished. But he has a merit to choke it in the utterance, so our virtues lie in the interpretation of the time, and power unto itself most commendable. Hath not a tomb so evident as a chair to extol what it hath done. One fire drives out one fire, one nail, one nail. Rights by rights fouler, strengths by strengths do fail. Come, let's away. When Caius, Rome is thine, thou art poorest of all, then shortly art thou mine.
Ooh, exit.
Thomas.
Act.
Yeah, that's a good candidate for the speeches.
Yes, I really like Aufidius. Aufidius actually winds up being, Aufidius and Menenius wind up being my favorite characters in this play. Especially in this act.
I think Aufidius is actually one of the characters who has the, and Volumnia, obviously, but he has a very clear understanding of what Coriolanus' problem is.
He also seems to have a clear understanding of what the world is like. He seems to get everything, even himself. He's the only one who sort of addresses his own...
He's just not strong enough to beat Coriolanus.
Yeah.
That's...
He's not Roman. It's not in his nature. But he
wasn't, fines. He was Gerard Butler.
Just to school.
Yeah, but you knew who was going to win.
Yes, or do you? Because things might not work out so well. It is called The Tragedy of Coriolanus. Oh, maybe I just ruined the ending. But you will have to wait for that. Act 5 will come up next week. I'd like to thank my brawlers this evening, Andre Simoneau, Jay Reed, David Wheaton, Stephanie Coleman, Eric Jean, and myself. Please go to bardbrawl.com. Leave comments and suggestions for how we could make this better. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Like us on Facebook.
Call us out on our lies and
I thought you were going to say call us.
No, we're not.
Just call me.
555.
Get a phone call in the middle of the night. Excuse me, but you said that you called him Gaius.
It's not actually Gaius. It's Edile.
Edilio. All right, thank you. We'll see you next time.
Sonnet 4. Unthrifty loveliness, why dost thou spend upon thyself thy beauty's legacy? Nature's bequest gives nothing, but doth lend, and being frank she lends to those are free. Then, beauteous niggard, why dost thou abuse the bounteous largess given thee to give? Profitless usurer, why dost thou use so great a sum of sums, yet canst not live? For having traffic with thyself alone, thou of thyself thy sweet self dost deceive. Then how, when nature calls thee to be gone, what acceptable audit canst thou leave? Thy unused beauty must be tombed with thee, which, used, lives the executor to be.